Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, page 1220 in your Schofield Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin with verse 6 and read through verse 13. The 13th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let them that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And let's pray. And thank you, dear Lord, for these exciting days in which we live. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for the pattern of it, for the foundation of it. And now help us today as we once again continue in that vein, that we might bring glory to Thee, that Thy word might be, of course, transferred from that which Thou wouldst speak to us through the lips of our preacher. Give our hearts tenderness and receptiveness, and crown this day with Thy glory and Thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
And our Father, there are a lot of people here this morning, several thousand people here. Behind every smile, there's a broken heart. In every breast, there's a beating heart that beats fast because of a need. I pray that You'd help me as the preacher this morning to be used of the Holy Spirit to fill the needs of Thy people today. Speak to our hearts sweetly and yet powerfully, gently and yet wonderfully, in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. You need not turn to it again, but I want to read to you a verse that, well, there are several verses in the Bible that every Christian ought to read regularly. One is, of course, Romans 8:28. But the one that's not used as much as it should be used is 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'll read it to you without your turning to it. There hath no temptation taken you, but that word temptation means, it's a bigger word than our word temptation. It's the word testing. It includes temptation, as we call temptation, you know, tempted to drink or tempted to curse or something. But the word is the word testing. There hath no testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested or tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation or with the testing also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you can take it. You can take it. I'll tell you, I've shed many a tear in my office this week because of the burdens of people that are in my office for counseling. I've tried for these 30 years, nearly 30 years, to carry your burdens and your heartaches and your problems. And I want to come this morning to those, to talk to those of you that have just learned that you have cancer. I want to talk to those of you that have just learned that someone very dear to you has cancer. I want to talk to those of you that have had some bad news that's broken your heart concerning a member of the family. I want to talk to those of you this morning who have a real heavy testing. And I want to say to you, you can take it. You can take it. May I share this verse with you for a few minutes, and I ask you to listen, because I believe this verse is one verse to which you ought to refer again and again and again and again. When the trials come, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. When the burdens come, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. When the heartaches come, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want you to notice that he starts off with a wonderful statement. Before he says, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Before he says, will also with the temptation or testing make a way to escape. Before he says that you may be able to bear it, he says these words. I love these three words. God is faithful. God is faithful. The word faithful means you can count on God to respond to a certain stimulus the same way every time. God never changes. If my people call on thy name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal the land. He always does. He doesn't 95% of the time. He always does. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. God will give you what you ask for. If you abide in him, his words abide in you. He always will. God is faithful. For example, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That means he always will. And I mean, what you've done, you ask God, you confess it, God will forgive you. No matter how deep you've been, you ask God, you confess it, and God will forgive you. Doesn't matter where you are this morning, how far away from God's will you are. You confess your sin to God, and God will forgive you. He always will. Oh, you say, I asked God to forgive me. I wonder if he did. You quit wondering. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of my favorite scriptures is Lamentations 3:22. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's compassions never fail. Anytime you suffer, God suffers with you. Anytime you hurt, God hurts with you. Anytime you're in sorrow, God's in sorrow with you. Anytime you grieve, God grieves with you. His compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, I try to be the same all the time. Sometimes it's not easy for me because I'm bound by a fleshly body. You try maybe to be the same all the time. And it's not easy, and we're not always the same. Ah, but God never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God is faithful. Now, anytime God says something about his faithfulness in regard to a promise, he's simply saying, you count on this. You count on this. Now, you can count on what I'm preaching this morning because God is faithful, it says. Now, what is God faithful to do? All right, listen, I'll just give you the verse. First, he says, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able. Now, listen to me. It does not say that God will not suffer you to be tested. God does not promise not to test you. God does not say you will not be tested. He says you'll not be tested above that ye are able. He didn't say you won't hurt. He said you won't hurt above that you're able. He didn't say you won't suffer. He says you won't suffer above that you're able. God will not allow you to have a pain that you're not able to bear. God will not allow you to be tempted or tested above that you're able. Didn't say you won't cry. It says, but you won't cry above that you're able. Didn't say you won't ache, but it said you won't ache above that you're able. Didn't say you won't have pain, but it said you will not have pain above that you're able. Now, if you or I or any other believer crumbles beneath the load, it's because we have not made available what is available to us. We have not that whatever your burden is, the power is more that's accessible to you is more than that burden. So God does not say he won't test you. God does test you. But God said he'll not suffer you to be tested above your able. Now I want to say this. The able is always more than the test. Always is. The able is always more than the test. And by the way, the devil cannot test you unless God gives permission for that testing. Remember when the devil came to Job and said, I was talking about him and accusing, as he always does, and the Lord said, "Is thou considered my servant Job?
And not nobody like him in the whole world. Neville said, well, I guarantee you. He said, you let me touch him and let me hurt him and let me put him in suffering and pain, and he'll crumble. Oh, God said, go ahead. I'll let you do it. But the thing I like about this is the devil couldn't have done it if God hadn't said do it. God knew Job's load level. And God said, I will not let Job suffer above his able. And God knows your load level. God knows exactly how much you can take. I preached a sermon here, a few months ago, maybe last fall, on the subject of God's weighing station. I told you about how the truck comes down the highway, and they know how much that bridge can take. And they will not let that truck have a heavier load than that bridge can bear. And so God has a weighing station. God knows the burden that's coming your way. God knows the heartache that you're going to have. And God says, I promise you, that you'll not ever have a load that you cannot bear. You'll never have a pain that you cannot bear. You'll never have a heartache that you cannot bear. You'll never have a sorrow that you cannot bear. You'll never have a suffering that you cannot bear. God said, I will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Okay, so stick your tongue out at old Smutty Face and say to the old booger man, yeah, go ahead, load it on. But God has given me enough strength to take whatever you load on. Give me what you can give me, he says. Just look at him and say, okay, old Smutty Face, okay, come on out of hell. But you cannot, God will not allow you to give me a burden that God will not give me the strength to bear. Oh, I love that. I love that. God has to put his stamp of approval on every testing the devil gives you. And God will not allow you to be tested above that ye are able. So, let's look down. I want to give you the next line. It says that ye may be able to bear it. That means that you can take it. I said, you can take it. Oh, you say, preacher, I've got more than I can bear. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You may have more than you're bearing, but you don't have more than you can bear. You may have not, listen to me now, you may have not used that which is available to you, but the strength is available to you to help you bear whatever the load is you have to bear. Now quit your whining and cancel your pity party and say, hallelujah, the strength is greater than the load is. God said, I'll not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So that means you don't have to go out and get drunk around your sorrows. You can smoke pot instead. You don't have to get drunk. No, get drunk. No, because the able is always stronger than the test. You don't have to take some dope, and you don't have to despair, and you don't have to break beneath the load. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm simply saying there are too many people that are despairing and throwing up their hands and say, I can't take it. Oh, yes, you can. Listen, if you are God's child, you listen to me. If you are God's child, if your name is written in heaven, in fact, that's enough to make you shout right there. If your name is written in heaven, God has available to you more strength than the load. And more able than the test. I don't care what the burden is. We mentioned little Danny Penley this morning. I'll never forget John and Madeline as they walked down the aisle of this church. And as they looked in little Danny's face, that little boy that they'd loved so much. And he was in heaven, a leukemia taking his little life. I'll never forget the smile on their faces. Now God had poured on them load, and God had allowed that little baby to go to heaven. But God said to John and Madeline, you can take it. You can take it. And so can you. This week, I was in my room in Louisville, Kentucky. I went down to play some bets down there on the Kentucky Derby. I lost all the money in the church budget while I was there. That's all we had a special deacon's meeting. But anyway, I was in Louisville, Kentucky, and my phone rang. I think it was Tuesday afternoon late. Tuesday afternoon. I had one of the greatest honors of my life bestowed upon me. A preacher called and he said, Dr. Hiles, I can't tell you the burdens I've got. But he said, I have an evangelist with me. If I called a fellow's name, everybody here would know him, a nationally known evangelist. And he said, I told him my burdens. And I said, I just want somebody to care.
and the honor bestowed upon me, this nationally known evangelist said, you call Dr. Jack Hiles, he'll care. And he said, Dr. Hiles will help you. He'll be your friend. He called me and said, Dr. Hiles, I just want to talk to you. And he said, just want to talk to you a while. He said, he told me his burden. I cannot believe anybody could bear the burden that man's bearing this morning. There's no way for me to tell you what that is. A pastor friend of mine. I've known him for many years, 30 years I've known him. And I cannot tell you the load he's facing. And then right in the middle of his load, he said his church has turned on him. About the leadership of the church has turned on him. He said, I think maybe I could get more than half of the vote. But he said my deacons are against me. And he said, the leadership of the church has turned on me. And he said, Brother Howells, I'm 65 years old. And I've preached for years. And he said, I don't know what to do. I said, I'll buy you a plane ticket. I'll fly you to Hammond. I got him a plane ticket and flew him down, met with him Thursday morning. And he sat in my office and we talked a while. And I said, let me tell you something. I called him by name. I said, by the way, we put him in a lovely motel room and gave him some candy and fruit and nuts. And in fact, the bass section of the choir with the nuts we sent over there. And we tried to treat him right. And he came to my office. And he was already perked up a little bit because we had flown him down and given him a good royal treatment. And I looked at him and I said, my brother, I said, let me just give you something to encourage you. He said, what's that? And I said, you haven't lost a friend. He said, what? I said, you haven't lost a friend, not one single friend. He said, you don't know my situation. I said, I know you haven't lost a friend. Well, he said, how do you know? I said, because you can't lose a friend. Big old smile came across his discouraged face and looked like he'd aged, my soul. Big old smile came across his face. I said, that isn't all. I said, you're one of the few people in the world who's found out who your friends are. He said, well, bye, Cracky. Yeah, I know who my friends are. I said, that isn't all. I said, did you know that your name has not been erased out of the Lamb's Book of Life? And my Bible says you're supposed to rejoice about that. And I told him, I said, not only that, I'm your friend. And he said, I thought I didn't have a friend in the world left. And as he left, I hugged him. And he said, this is one of the greatest days of my life. And I said, I want to tell you something, brother. First place, I said, if they fire you in your church, I said, as long as I got a piece of bread, you got a half piece. As long as I got a dollar, you got 50 cents. And he went on his way rejoicing. And he's going to make it, too. He's going to make it. He's got some heartaches to face, but he's going to make it. He's going to make it. You know why? I'm going to see him makes it. Yeah, I'm going to see him makes it. And I told him. By the way, I told him I was going to preach on this morning. I preached this sermon to him. And I said, let me tell you. I said, now, I can't comprehend your load. I said, I have never borne a load like you're bearing right now. But I said, I guarantee you, you're able to bear it. Oh, you said, I said, you are able to bear it. I said, I don't think I am. I said, who am I supposed to believe, God or you? He said, let's both believe it. Let's both believe God. I'm simply saying God said he will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you're able. Now, look what else he says. He says, but will with the testing. Uh-oh, testing's going to come. Will with the testing. Didn't say God won't test you. God's got to test you to see what you're made out of. And with the testing, God said, he'll also, now follow me carefully, make a way of escape. He didn't say he'll make you escape. God will make a way. God doesn't say, when you're tested, God doesn't say to you, come on, I'm going to pull you to safety. No, God said, there's the way to safety. Now, if you want to run. I'll make a way of escape. Didn't say I'll escape you. I'll make a way of escape.
And the testing, to see, testing never comes alone. It's just like salvation. God's not going to drag you to salvation. God's going to make a way of salvation for you, but you're going to have to trust Him or you're going to burn in hell forever. God makes a way of salvation. These people say, well, who will be saved, and your time comes. God will knock you in the head and bring you to salvation. You're going to die and go to hell if that's the way you look at it. It's a whosoever will. Jesus made the way, but you've got to take the way. Just as God's given you a way of salvation, but you've got to take it. God's made a way for you to escape your burden and your heartache and your sorrow, but you've got to take it. You'll have to languish. Look, fellow said, well, I guess I'm going to go to hell. Well, if you go to hell, it's your own fault. There's a way. Jesus is the way. It's up to you. You can sit there at a banquet table and starve if you want to. You can sit there at the fountain and die of thirst if you want to. You can sit with a fire beside you and a match and light the fire with gas in the stove and freeze to death if you want to, but you don't have to. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven, but you've got to decide. There's a way that God has made, but you've got to take the way. Same thing's true about this matter of testing here. God said He will, with the testing, make a way of escape. God's not going to pull you out of it. He's going to say, here it is. You don't have to languish. You don't have to all the time have a heart that's broken. You don't have to all the time be thinking and whining about yourself. Good night. Your name is written in heaven. Heaven's your home. The Bible's your book. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. Nobody can take that away. Salvation that beats in my breast today is all will always beat in my breast. The name that's written in heaven, Jack Frazier Hiles, it'll always be written in heaven. There's a mansion prepared for me. My Savior loves me, and my Father's my Father. And the Holy Spirit that lives in me will never leave. I'm simply saying, you got 10,000 things to shout about this morning instead of whining about two or three burdens that God's given you. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the tempting or testing also make a way of escape. Now listen to this last line. That ye may be able to bear it. Not that ye may bear it, but that ye may be able to bear it. Now three times there, listen. Three times God tells you He has made it for you, but you've got to take it. He said God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to think about that you're able. You're able if you choose to be. Then He said He'll make a way of escape, but you've got to follow the way. Then He said that you may be able to bear it. He didn't say that you may bear it, but that you may be able to bear it. It's available. You need not break beneath the load. You may cry beneath the load, but you need not break beneath the load. You may hurt beneath the load, but you need not break beneath the load. You may suffer beneath the load, but you need not break beneath the load. You may ache beneath the load, but you need not break beneath the load. You may sorrow beneath the load, but you need not break beneath the load. I'm saying, God says that you may be able to bear it. That you may be able to bear it. That means you're able to bear it. Say it. I'm able to bear it. Say it. I am able to bear it. Say it again. I am able to bear it. Say it again. I am able to bear it. Doesn't say you will bear it, but you can bear it if you choose God's availability. I am able to bear it. Say it again. I am able to bear it. Say it again. I am able to bear it. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Let me give you an illustration I used here. I think in a Bible study on Wednesday night. Could I have this microphone, please? Amen. Turn this one up a little bit, please. A little louder. A little louder. Good. The Bible said, whosoever shall endure to the end shall be saved. Doesn't mean saved from hell. I'm talking about salvation here. It means that whosoever shall endure to the end. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother House, what's the difference in perseverance and endurance? And I said, that's easy. I said, here I am right here,
I see, Brother John, Brother Weber, get up there, and get Brother Stroud, get up here. And Brother John, you continue to sleep there. Just rest in peace. Brother Sisson, you get up there, please. All right. Now then, perseverance means when Paul said, I have finished the course. I may have to have the last one over there on two fellows on the far end. I'm going to need that after a while. All right. My course is to get over there to that piano box over there. That's my course in life. Let's just say that my course in life is to get over there. Now, perseverance is getting over there. It's finishing. Paul said, I finished the course. Perseverance is getting to it. Now, on the way, I'm going to have some problems. And you are too. You're going to have some problems on the way. Now, from these problems are represented by these three men. I chose these men on purpose because they are three of my biggest problems here at First Baptist Church. And these men represent my problems. Now, these men are going to try to keep me from getting over there. This man may be discouragement. This man may be enemies. This man may be loneliness. I don't know what he is. But they're going to try to keep me from getting there. So, fellas, as I go toward my goal, you're supposed to try to keep me from getting there. By the way, now, the perseverance is getting there. Endurance is not letting them keep me from getting there. You see? All right. So I'm walking toward my goal. And I'm going to go toward my goal. I'm going to get toward my goal. And I'm going to get toward my goal. I'm going to get toward my goal. I'm going to get toward my goal. Don't mess with me, boy. I'm going to get toward my goal. I'm going to get toward. Thanks. He pushed me toward my goal. And by the way, that's not really a bad truth. Yeah. Because once you endure as you persevere, it may push you toward perseverance. Makes you stronger, okay? So, look at here. I'm trying to get over here. I've got to endure as I persevere. I'm trying to get over here. And I'm trying to get over here. Now, here's the way you do. Here's the way you do. Take her to the nursery, would you please? See, here's what you do. You're going towards your goal. So what happens? An enemy comes out, trying to block you. Here's what you do.
Hey, I won! But I'm farther from a goal than I was a while ago.
I don't care if you are in the athletic department. You can't handle me, Buster. Don't you see what I'm saying? There's nothing the devil would rather me do than walk up here and say, I'll get you, boy, I'll get you. No, that's not my goal. That's my goal. You see? So I gotta stay on track. So he comes down, two things he tries to do. Keep me from getting there. And of course you can't do that, you're not man enough. But but if that doesn't work, he'll try to get me to chasing him. But you're not gonna stop me, buddy. Just get over.
Now I need this one.
Well, this looks like the easiest one of all to me. So I just, here it comes. What am I trying to do? Am I trying to lick him? No, I'm trying to get there. That's the course for my life. I looked at his head and thought I was looking in the mirror there for a while. I got to get to my goal, fella. I chose three fellas that worked for me because they also have a goal. They can't reach their goal without me reaching mine. Now, what am I trying to say?
I'm trying to say God did not call you to endure. He called you to persevere. Now, what's endurance? You're supposed to endure that which keeps you from persevering. So, if you have a big load today, congratulations. God only gives big loads to people who have big ables. Hear me? He said He will not suffer you to be tested above that you're able. So if the load's bigger, your able's bigger. So congratulations. John Penley, congratulations. Madeline, congratulations. Pastor who came to see me, congratulations. You have heartaches you don't think you can bear, congratulations. God, I don't care what the load is, what the burden is this morning, God has not allowed you to have a load or a burden that you can't bear. Now, it may be that you won't bear it, but you could bear it. It may be that you'll crumble, but you don't have to crumble. It may be that you'll break beneath the load, but you don't have to break beneath the load. God can't come. And by the way, who wrote this? Apostle Paul. Paul spent most of his life in jail. He spent the first half of his life putting people in jail. Last half of his life in jail. Paul. Fellow was stoned outside the city of Lystra. Not the kind of stone that you were last night, fellows, but a stone. Stoned outside the city of Lystra. Left for dead. Fellow was beaten. Hated. Imprisoned. He said to the church at Corinth, "You're having it tough, aren't you?" He said to the Christians in Corinth, "You're having it tough, aren't you?" He said, "I just want to tell you something. There is no testing taken you but such as is common to man." But he said, "God is faithful." He said, "You can count on this. God will do this because He's faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. He'll not suffer you to be tested above that you're able. But will also with the testing." He said the testing is going to come. If you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. The testing is going to come. But he said when the testing comes, God will make a way of escape. That you may, if you choose, may, if you want, may, if you will, it's up to you, be able to bear it. And so this morning I say to that preacher who came to see me, God bless him. I've thought about him day and night since I talked to him. There's no way I would never tell you what the trouble is. It's beyond comprehension. And the trouble's not just his church turned on him. The trouble's far greater than that. I say to him, as I said to him, as he walked out of the study, I said, "Come here a minute." He came. I said, "Put your arms around me." He put his arms around me and I hugged him. And I said, "My brother, we're going to make it. We're going to make it." And he said, "For the first time in months, I feel like somebody cares." And I said to him, and I said to you, "If you can't find any earthly, fleshly body to care." "Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When your day grows weary, your nights grow dreary, I know my Savior cares." Whatever your burden is this morning, you can handle it. I didn't say you won't hurt. I didn't say you won't cry. I didn't say you won't suffer. I said you can handle it. So just make it, make that which is accessible to you and available to you. Reach out and grab a big old cup of grace and drink it. Reach out and grab a big old cup of God's mercy and God's love and drink it. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now this morning, to those of you that never trusted Him, you don't have this promise. That's why if you're not saved, that's why you turn to dope. If you're not saved, that's why you turn to liquor. You see, your burden's bigger than you can bear. If you're not saved, the promise is not to you. Just to the saved person, God says, "I'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able." But bless God, you can have this promise and every other promise in this book if you'll trust the Savior this morning. He's made a way of escape from sin. He's made a way of escape from hell.
He's made a way of escape from despair. He's made a way of escape from the great white throne judgment. He's made a way of escape from the clutches of sin. He comes this morning and says, come to Christ and receive Him. Your name can be written in heaven. You can have God as your Father, Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit as your comforter, the Bible as your book, heaven as your home, and God's promises as your promises. Shall we bow our heads, please, for prayer?